This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
During the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You don't know that.
God bless
you. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
Wow. Some of the fireworks that happened there in the Oval Office on Friday afternoon between Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, and, of course, President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. It's filled the news cycle over the weekend. There's little doubt about that. And obviously probably filled the vacuum of news in Washington, D.C. as well. And we've got Congressman Bob Onder with us right now from the 3rd Congressional District. And Bob, never a dull moment so far, huh?
That's for sure. It's great to be back, Mark.
Yeah, it's good to have you on this morning. Anxious to get your reaction to that. George Stephanopoulos, all of these big mainstream media types are falling all over this. The Democrats are claiming it was an embarrassing moment. And what I heard was an American president speaking the truth about trying to achieve peace. And you can't do that if all you want is more money to keep fighting.
Well, that's exactly right, Mark. Zelensky's arrogance just exuded from every word of the conversation. Zelensky's been on the cover of Vanity Fair, the cover of People magazine. He thinks he's a celebrity. He thinks he can speak to the news media of the United States. They will fawn all over him, and then Donald Trump will be forced to give him a blank check. Zelensky is fighting a war very clearly that he cannot win. I think the rest of the world cheered when the Ukrainians were able to hold off Russia those first weeks after the invasion. Clearly, Putin was the aggressor. But at this point, he is conscripting. He's run out of young people, so he's conscripting 40, 50-year-olds, sending them to the front and to face a meat grinder of a war. It is time for peace, and the arrogance of Zelensky expecting that we just have a blank check of American money, it's ridiculous. Look, over the weekend, there are a lot of headlines. Europeans rally around Zelensky. Okay, fine. You guys send the weapons. You write the checks. You provide the missile guidance. This has been a proxy war for a long time now. We're not saying right now Trump's going to cut him off completely, but it is time for peace with or without Zelensky's cooperation.
Yep. I think that's a very good summary of what's going on. He can't continue without American support. So I'm sure something's going to happen here shortly. You know, Congressman, I know it's been a busy 2 months since you landed up there in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow, you will introduce your first bill, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We are addressing, again, this problem of extreme abuse of our immigration system. The last 4 years under Joe Biden, the main problem has been illegal aliens crossing the southern border. By all accounts, that is down dramatically, probably 97-98% from the Biden peak. But interior enforcement is also extremely important. Prior to the Biden invasion, our number one source of illegal immigration was visa overstayers, whether it be a tourist visa, a work permit. So my bill, the Timely Departure Act, will crack down on visa overstayers. This was inspired by something that happened in my own district, right in St. Charles County. where an illegal alien from the Middle East in January sexually assaulted two different women on two different occasions while he was driving for Uber and for Lyft, respectively. He was a tourist visa overstayer. Tourist visas are already very generous. They're 6 months long. I don't know about you. I've never taken a six-month vacation before.
No.
But, you know, they need to get the heck out when their time is up. And if they want to seek, you know, legal immigration, there are legal channels. But we cannot tolerate the lawlessness of visa overstaying.
You know, I'm amazed by it, Congressman, because I've observed this over the years. You know, if I've got a date coming up, an important appointment, I can set a calendar reminder in my Google Calendar here, and it will send me an email reminding me when that's up. I've always wondered why the State Department was incapable of doing that. If you grant somebody entry on a 6 month or a 1 year student visa or whatever it is, there should be a little reminder that pops up on the government official screen a year from now that says, you know, this individual is now beyond their visa. Let's find out if they're still in the country. There's never been any interest in doing that.
Absolutely. And the penalty for overstaying is you just, you know, have to leave. Well,
yeah.
You know, they just don't leave. And that is the problem with the illegal immigration. And of course, these illegal aliens are all hoping that someday they'll get amnesty, citizenship, the right to vote. And that's exactly as Biden and the Democrats want it. No. And so what would a visa overstayer under my bill would forfeit a substantial bond, and then they would be barred from further visa applications.
Oh, wow.
For at least 5 years. So, yeah, so this will have teeth. And, you know, and of course, the federal government needs to enforce the tracking system of these visas as well. But right now it's very loose. A lot of times, I've heard from employers that illegal aliens will come and, you know, they'll ask for identification. They'll hand them this expired tourist visa. Well, that doesn't work.
I saw, I think it was just last week, that the New York City Mayor Eric Adams had said that the Roosevelt Hotel, which had been housing at least hundreds of these illegals for months, I think was going to stop basically providing them with that coming up in June. I mean, is there any talk there on Capitol Hill as far as like what the future is? Are we seeing more of that happening? Because a number of these leaders across the country have said, you know, I'm not going to abide by that. And Tom Homan has said, you know, don't you dare try to do that or we're going to come after you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, cutting off the money is very important. One of the many things DOGE uncovered, Kim, was that $58 million of FEMA funds were used to house illegal immigrants in New York luxury hotels, including the Roosevelt Hotel. I think it's time for the federal government to follow through. If cities or states want to be sanctuary jurisdictions, well, then cut off federal funds. By the way, in 2008, that was a provision of the bill I passed at the time to fight illegal immigration, that sanctuary cities would lose all state funding. And essentially at the time, Kansas City was making noises about becoming a sanctuary jurisdiction, and they shut up the minute my bill was passed.
Yeah, it's good. Well, Congressman, let us know when that thing gets rolling, and we'll have you back on to talk about it.
Will do. Thank you so much.
You bet. Congressman Bob Onder there up in D.C. this morning. And yeah, that's long overdue. I've never understood that as long. If you get caught on an expired visa somewhere in Europe, you might get thrown in jail for it.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't understand why we've been so lax on that in America. I think one of the 9/11 hijackers was here on an expired student visa. I mean, think of some of the things we might have been able to accomplish if that was enforced. Wow. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Real or Fake in the bottom of the hour. State Representative Lisa Durnell is going to join me with her take on this Bayer and Roundup bill. We'll be back.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz. I'm Carl, and I tell the people in the studio headlines, and they have to tell me if they are real or if they are fake. And there is consequence to these.
The winner gets to pick the music.
On Friday.
On Friday. So.
And Ethan Bright has won twice and has surprised everyone by his choices. Because he did threaten to do death metal on Valentine's Day and instead chose 60s soul music.
So if I win, I may just have you play Van Halen 2 in its entirety.
The whole album.
There you go.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take off on Friday if you win.
Dance the Night Away. Fantastic.
It's one of their best albums, in my opinion. But go ahead, please.
Yes. And then Ethan surprised us all last week by playing songs that Mark knew.
Thank you.
Some.
I'm going to pick all like country, like Shania Twain and Celine Dion.
I like if I Shania
win.
Twain.
Okay, I'm going to go with Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. That
oh,
will be one of them.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On yeah. loop.
That's right. Wow. In and out of every break.
Ethan, since you won last week, you're going to kick us off this week. We're going to begin with the Oscars. Real or fake, until 1941, the names of the Oscar winners were made public prior to the ceremony. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Mark Cox.
Until 1941?
Yes.
You're saying they announced them in advance?
They just said, here's who our winners, and then the ceremony was just to give out the trophies.
I'll say real.
I'll Kim say real.
It is real.
Huh.
In 1941, they used the sealed envelope and do what they do now. I don't know why.
Because some smart producer decided it would be better to make people wait.
And watch.
Yes, because why watch if you already know?
Think of the advertisement when it's up.
Mark Cox, real or fake, the Great Wall of China can be seen from space with the naked eye. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim Sinach.
Mm. Yeah, I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
I believe it is fake.
It is fake. You can't see it. That was just a myth that China told people. Fake news.
I bet you can see Trump Tower from space with the naked eye.
Well, a week ago, when you know it was really cold out, it looked like Michigan and Minnesota and Iowa. It looked like they were underneath a cloud because it was so overcast with snow.
There you have it.
Hmm. Kim St. Ange. Real or fake? There are more trees on Earth than stars in the Milky Way.
There's so many stars, but this is just in the Milky Way. I don't know.
Real or fake? There are more trees on the Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way.
Say fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go fake.
It's real. It's real. There are more trees on Earth, and that includes like saplings and everything.
Probably includes like a blade of grass, like a little shrub.
Trees.
They call that a tree.
It is trees. It's trees. Ethan Bright. Real or fake? Staff at a public aquarium in Japan came up with a clever way to cheer up lonely fish by pasting pictures on the aquarium glass walls. Real or fake?
Sure, let's go real.
Mark Cox.
Real.
I'll say real, but something tells me you made this up.
When the aquarium had to close for repairs, the staff noticed their sunfish lost its appetite. They taped photographs on the glass. Fish started to eat
again. And the fish was happy.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, Kimmy did not get that.
No, I got that right. I said real, but something tells me you made it up. So right. I did get it correct.
You got it right.
Yeah. I'm still going to lose, but that's okay.
Why do you say that?
Because Ethan's gotten almost every one of them right.
So?
He's only up by one. Go ahead.
He's only up by one.
To Mark.
On Mark. Yes. And you know who knows that? Mark.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Real or fake? Ethan Bright. Lizards have the strongest kneecaps in the animal kingdom.
Lizards?
Yes. Real or fake?
Sure, I'll go real.
Mark Cox.
Lizards have the strongest kneecaps
in the animal kingdom.
I'm going to go fake.
I didn't even know lizards had kneecaps, but for whatever weird reason, I'm going to say sure, I bet they have strong kneecaps.
It's fake.
Ah, boo.
Mark Cox and Ethan Bright are now tied.
All right.
Trying to get them all.
Thank you.
All right, good.
I don't think they have kneecaps. But
go
ahead.
Wait, do they have kneecaps at all?
Yes.
Oh, you sure?
I thought maybe they could, like, some of them can really jump from tree to tree. And so I thought, well, maybe they have strong kneecaps to be able to jump. I don't know.
He's making
these are weird, Carl. Do you have fun coming up with these?
No. They are very hard to come up with the fake ones.
I'll bet.
Like...
Lizards with strong kneecaps.
Lizards with kneecaps. Mark Cox, real or fake, in the first quarter of 2024, adults bought more toys for themselves than any other age group, surpassing the preschool market.
Preschoolers don't have any money.
Toys bought for preschoolers.
So like what's the definition of an adult toy, and keep it PG?
18, no.
Like a Star Wars figurine that Carl buys.
Oh.
Or Funko Pops. So the dominant toy market is for 3 to 5 year olds. But the first quarter of 2024, did adults buy more toys for themselves than for preschoolers? Real or fake?
He's getting irritated. I don't know, Carl. I'm going to go with real on that one because it's just weird enough.
Yeah, I'll say real. They liked those weird pillow things that are, you know, people sleep with them. Adults.
Squishmallows?
Yes.
Oh. Ethan Bright.
I'll go real.
It is real. For the first time ever, $1.7 billion adults spent on toys for themselves.
And how much did you put into that figure?
$1,700.
Yeah, there you go.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? M&M Mars, the candy conglomerate, is the world's largest manufacturer of pet food. Real or fake?
I don't know. Real? I'm getting irritated.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go fake.
Mark, I sent you up there.
It's Wait, real? Did I just tie?
No.
Oh.
No, you're still one behind. But these two are still tied.
I know, I'm like, Mark, just
I could, if you both get it wrong, I could tie you guys. I'm one behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys say the same thing, I'll say the
opposite. I don't have good strategy.
No matter what it is,
go ahead,
Mark.
What's the last question?
Listen to what he said.
I was listening to the question.
Thank you.
No matter what, you go the opposite of me.
Ethan Bright. Real or fake, an Idaho man used super barcodes hidden in a ring for Walmart theft. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Mark Cox.
I'll say fake.
I'll say real.
We have a winner, finally. Winning. It's real. He put a barcode in his wedding ring, and then he would act like he was scanning, like, steaks, and it would come up as soup.
Nice.
So Ethan won.
Did I tie
is
Mark?
What you're telling me.
You tied Mark.
I came back.
For second place, yes.
I feel like I should donate the music to Mark.
Wait, Mark? Why not me?
I just want to say I sacrificed myself I would have said real, but I had to go opposite
you
him.
You are so honorable, Mark.
Then we could have split the music on Friday at least.
I will split it with you if you want.
No. I'm just trying to be, you know, nice.
You could have it, be honest.
Citizen.
He
coming up.
Like picking.
we'll talk... more about that bear situation moving through the legislature regarding Roundup from one of the state house reps who heard all of the testimony.
In Missouri, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 27 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 41,000 Missourians who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $93.7 billion it brings our state. And
so that's part of the ad that's running on this radio station. They're running TV commercials. You've seen the billboards. Last week, we had somebody from Bayer on here, in fact, to talk about this bill that they've got and why they believe it's important that they have at least some liability protection that's included in this bill. And they've got bills similar to this around the country. And there are some concerns out there. In fact, I have to say, somebody forwarded to me some comments made by State Representative Lisa Durnell, District 154, down near West Plains. And it made more sense to me than a lot of what I've read about this. She was there in the committee hearings when this was being debated in the House. And we've got her on the phone this morning. Representative, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for giving me a minute. You know, I read some of your comments that you posted on Facebook regarding this glyphosate bill, and I was interested to get you to repeat some of those because you were a no vote on this, correct?
Correct.
And why is that?
I sat through all of the ag committee testimony, and then I also did research on my own afterward, and it just pointed me in a direction of a no vote, a solid no vote. I want you to keep in mind that I am just a freshman rep who happens to sit on the committee, but I'm also a farmer and just an average everyday Missourian, and I am the wife of someone who has used glyphosate and probably will again. I am certainly not an expert on this, but I urge everybody to do their own homework, but I can just give you my perspective of, you know, how I heard things. And I think it's important to point out that this bill, if passed through the Senate and signed by the governor, would be something that didn't just give Bayer and Roundup the protection. The way I understand it, it would be all companies and all chemicals now and in the future. And to me, that was a little bit on the scary side, because we're talking about chemical compounds that maybe haven't even been, you know, invented yet. So that gave me some pause. Another thing that caused concern for me was that these companies do their own testing and submit only concluded studies to the EPA. And the EPA does not play a role in checking, you know, or making them do these studies on a regular basis. So there was testimony in committee by a trial attorney who said that during their discovery and one of the cases that they tried, they found that these companies will start a study, and if they don't like where it's headed, they'll abort the study. So they don't have to, they don't end up with a concluded study that has to be reported to the EPA. So that caused concern for me. And then there was also testimony that said that the last concluded study on glyphosate was in 1993.
I could not agree more with you on this, and I'm so thankful you're a no vote, because if I were in your shoes, I would absolutely be a no vote on this. I have serious concerns. We talked to someone from Bayer last week who was trying to say, you know, this isn't blanket immunity, but it sounds like there's absolutely some degree of immunity where somebody, if they found and could conclusively say, you know, I had cancer and it was caused from XYZ chemical, they would not be able to sue. Right? Like, what level of immunity would this bill give companies like Bayer?
Right. One of the people who testified in committee said that there are three causes of action for filing suit. The first one is failure to warn. The second one is design defect. And the third one is manufacturer's defect. And she said that the vast majority of these cases are due to failure to warn. So basically, in essence, we've got a company who has defended themselves and argued that their product is safe in all of these lawsuits, who would now, if I understand this correctly, would be able to do a 180 and go ahead and put a label on there that says this may cause cancer. And then suddenly they're immune from the failure to warn claim.
I see.
So you would have to prove design defect or manufacturer's defect, which this witness said was virtually impossible, and most of the claims are not brought for that reason. So yeah. it would cover that failure to warn, and so anybody who is harmed by this would not be able to make a claim under that action.
Yeah, we're talking to Representative Lisa Durnell from District 154, covering Howell County. I'm interested. You said that your husband is a farmer. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are farmers.
You are farmers. The ad alleges that this would hurt crop yields, and it's going to cause food prices to rise if they end up, for some reason, restricting the amount of glyphosate they produce or they stop making Roundup. What's your experience on the ground? Are other farmers telling you the same thing? Do you feel that way at all?
Well, actually, most of the farmers who contacted me, and a lot of regular, everyday Missourians, just like myself, they weighed in on this, and they all asked for a no vote on this. I did have one person in my district who would prefer that I vote yes on this, because Bayer did go, it's my understanding that they went straight to the farmers to try to, you know, get their narrative in there first and have those people call their reps to vote yes on this bill. And I do understand it from a standpoint of, well, if they stop making it, then we're going to have a greater difficulty in raising these crops, you know, to feed millions of people. I get that. But I also have to think, okay, is this multi-billion dollar company really going to, you know, not be able to come up with something else? Or are they really going to stop selling this product? And honestly, right now, Syngenta is a company who also sells a glyphosate product in the United States. So it's, you know, it's not just Bayer, and it's not that we are going to have to defer to China for our chemicals. They're already here. So, you know, some of the arguments that they put out there weren't real solid, I didn't think. I just feel like with a multi-billion dollar company, can we not keep researching? Can we not keep trying to find something that's safer and is not contaminating our food or people that are using the product or whatever? And I mean, I'm not saying it is. I haven't done the study myself. I'm just saying, if there are this many claims against it for that, then let's keep trying to find something better.
Just
go for the money.
If they really cared about the health of the American people, it seems like these companies would be open to that. And I just don't understand why, if they're so confident, not just Bayer, any company that's using this, if they're so confident that it is healthy and not causing these issues like cancer, then why do they need any sort of immunity? Because they're saying, look, these studies say it's not causing cancer, not causing these other conditions.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where I landed on it. The other point of concern for me in this bill was that if we pass this, we would basically be turning over our state's sovereignty in this area to the EPA. And I don't know, the EPA to me has historically done things that I wasn't for, you know. And so we would be kind of handing over this whole thing to the EPA. And you know, the EPA even changes with each administration to some degree.
Sure.
And so I just feel like keeping it here and keeping control of that is the best way to go. And so there were three of us Republicans that were on the committee who voted no on this bill. And then we were also a no vote on the House floor whenever it came to the floor for a vote. And it did just narrowly pass. And the Senate is supposed to take it up at some point in the next couple weeks, I think. Hopefully it can get, you know, killed over there. I know there have been several senators who have gotten some mailers sent out that were kind of attacks on them. And I had an attack as well.
Did you really? Yeah, Senator Nick Schroer showed me one of those flyers. In fact, I got one in my mailbox the day after he texted me a picture of it. So I know that that's been I know that's been happening. Well, Representative Lisa Durnell, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on your freshman year down there in the legislature.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We will hopefully talk again soon at some point. I mean, I think she's got a good point there. I do know that when we reached out to Bayer, they have a different point of view on this. We had Jess Christensen on last week from Bayer talking about it. They also offered to get us somebody from the farming industry to talk about it. Now, she's a farmer. She has one point of view. I'm guessing there are farmers out there that have different points of view. At the end of the day, I do have concerns that there's too much litigation that goes on. I get that. I really do.
Yeah, I think people are so happy. They love to find an opportunity to
and
sue.
Trial lawyers are not ever going to be in favor of something that allows them to file fewer lawsuits. But I do think there's some questions here that still need to be answered about the limits of this liability. And if it's just a matter of changing a little bit of wording on the label, and then suddenly you're protected from any lawsuits against that product. I don't know. I think that's something that needs to be discussed and hopefully will be down in the legislature here. So, Kim, what's coming up on Kim on a Whim?
Let's stay on the health train. A lot of these restaurants, including Steak and Shake, are doing what they're calling it, they RFK'd their fries. Do you know what that means?
I don't, but okay. I'm about to find out.
I'll explain it.
We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
I don't think I have eaten at Steak and Shake. It's, for probably a decade. Ever since high school when I would go get the Frisco melt, which actually sounds really good right now. But I might just have to make a stop there because the company just announced recently that they're going to stop frying their fries using vegetable oil, which is a seed oil, by the way, and they're going to start using beef tallow. And a number of restaurants have recently done the same thing. Outback Steakhouse, Buffalo Wild Wings. I love this. The company came out, Steak and Shake, and said we are RFKing our fries because he's been talking about the danger of seed oils and that this is a better alternative.
Beef tallow.
Yes. It's derived from animal fat. Basically, but
I think that's what McDonald's uses.
I think they do. I think I've been hearing more and more about this because they say that it's not only healthier for you, but that it actually tastes better. Like a lot of restaurants in Europe use this, and it actually makes for a better tasting fry.
If it's got beef in it, of course it makes for a better tasting food.
Yes, well, but it also makes it not vegetarian. Which got McDonald's sued, I think, because they weren't letting people know that, and so vegetarians thought that
they need to put
fries.
A label on it.
Right.
Okay. This is great. I think now I haven't been to I love Steak and Shake, but because they started closing them all down, like the one that used to be by my house in Ellisville, shut down. Mm-hmm. Right. And they were begging people to take it over and start it back up again for like 10 grand. You could take over the restaurant and start it up.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know. I know there's still a few around. I'm glad to hear they're doing this. That's good. That's great news. They're RFKing things.
Yeah. Well, you still hear a lot of these government agencies that sit there and try to say, oh, there's nothing to be worried about with seed oils. Well, does anyone really trust like the FDA and a lot of these organizations that have told us bogus stuff for so many years? You have to follow the money. I say that all the time, and I'm sure it gets frustrating for everyone hearing me rant about this, but it drives me bonkers when people put so much faith in some of these studies and what then the FDA or the CDC or whatever the case may be, what they try to sit there and tell the American public. And it's like, go look at who funded the study. Go look at that, and that will tell you pretty much everything that you need to know about why that the results were the way that they were.
Well, you know, RFK is having an impact, and he's only been in office, what, 2 weeks? he just got confirmed recently. But when you think about this and you look back to your childhood and think about the food pyramid and they started telling you you needed to stop using beef fat and grease and you needed to
eat margarine and not real butter and
all of these things were a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed by the industries that made millions of billions off of that stuff.
And think about this. You hear a lot of people who are older than me who will sit there and say, well, when I was a kid, I ate this and I was fine. Well, you have to think about how things have evolved in just the last couple of decades. The same methods that were used to produce those foods are not the same now. They're all about mass producing
and they're
putting in more dyes and things that can be more appealing to kids. So the junk that you ate as a kid, sure, it was still junk, but it's not the same level of junk as it is now. It's just you're comparing apples to oranges.
My grandmother kept a coffee can in their refrigerator, and when there was extra grease and skillet for whatever they did cook, they just put it in that can and stick it back in the refrigerator. And if they needed grease, they didn't spray something in the pan. They
just right back in there.
Get a scoop of that out with a spoon and slop it in there and fry their food on it.
Yummy.
It was delicious.
Oh, I'm sure.
The best way to make eggs is in a pan where you've just fried sausage.
Well, yeah, you make bacon, leave some of the fat in there, and then you make the eggs.
I know. No kidding. Love it. That's fantastic. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jessie Jane Duff at about 8:20. We'll see what she thinks about Donald Trump's dust-up with Vladimir.
Get more at 971talk.com.